From crash diets to fad diets, injections and pills, the weight loss industry is a cash machine, but it is all temporary because once you stop, most people gain the weight back plus a little extra. Imagine all that time and money and you're still left hiding your body under baggy clothes or turning the lights off when you're with your significant other because you're shy or embarrassed about your body. Well, Sono Bello can help you change the way you look at yourself. In one visit, you will see the difference in your tummy, side, thighs, arms, or wherever you have stubborn fat. You guys know me. I let you guys know when I get stuff done. I absolutely do not see anything wrong with getting a little bit of laser lipo done. I had it done right before the Grammys and it smoothed my hips for my dress. And let me tell you, I will do it again and again and again. Schedule your free consultation and learn all about microlaser fat removal. Give yourself the gift of a full body reset. You deserve to be happy. Sono Bello is running a great special right now. Visit SonoBello.com/bunny, B-U-N-N-I-E. That's SonoBello, SonoBello.com/bunny. If I had to think of a time I personally smelled my worst, it would have to be after one of Jay's concerts, an outside concert at that. My right armpit was ripe for the pickings, smelled like beef stroganoff. I kid you not, it was rancid. As a special offer, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code and link. Use code BUNNY, B-U-N-N-I-E, at LumiDeodorant.com. And that's LumiDeodorant.com. I personally freaking love Lumi. I have every scent. My favorite one is the toasted coconut, though, because even when you sweat, it still smells so good and so yummy, and you feel like you're on a tropical island. But I promise you guys, any sort of smells you could possibly have, Lumi will cover it up. Once again, as a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use code BUNNY, B-U-N-N-I-E, for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code BUNNY, B-U-N-N-I-E, at LumiDeodorant.com. What's up, you sexy motherfuckers? Today, I have somebody that I have been looking forward to meeting. Not only me looking forward to meeting, but my husband was more excited about this guest than I was. Ophelia, aka Mama Tot, is in the house, baby. How are you?
That is me. I'm perfect. I'm so excited to be here. I don't think I have ever been so afraid and so quiet in any of her episodes as I was at this moment on this one. And it was because this baby was here. I grabbed the car seat and I walked out that damn door. Now, our nearest neighbor was about a mile and a half because there were wooded areas between us. And I took that carrier and I walked to my neighbor's house where my friend Amanda lived. And I mean, I wasn't crying. I was upset. I was afraid because I didn't know if she was going to come behind me in the vehicle and try to run me. I just didn't know.
No, you can't trust her.
It was the look on her eye. The look on her face. Mm-hmm. It was, I've never seen
her. I call it shark eyes. Yes. They look like sharks whenever they get like that.
Her eyes in general were traumatizing enough.
Right.
And my feelings were right. She was.
Is this thing on?
All right, gentlemen, coming to main stage next, this is Bunny. Get up there. She's got a tornado of titties coming your way. Get those dollar bills ready. She's got an ass that shakes like Michael J. Fox. So get up there and throw them dollars.
Dude, that is fucking iconic.
It's on an episode because it continued for a few days. Not because of me. I was nowhere near her. But just calling people in the family all hours of the night and just, you know, just doing these.
Did she use drugs?
Oh, no. She did not smoke, no pills, drink, nothing. Mm. The only thing she took was her medication for her bipolar or depression.
Right.
And or both. That's it.
Gotcha.
You know, she was one of these Christians that don't, you know.
Right.
If she seen you smoking a cigarette or me smoking a cigarette, it would be like, you're going to hell, and would straight tell you you're going to hell.
That's how my stepmom was. She was this perfect Christian Southern woman who was just mentally ill and the most judgmental woman I've ever met in my life.
And would use religion as a complete weapon.
I have religious trauma because of what I went through.
It's
very, people don't talk about religious trauma enough. It is brutal. Literally, I live with anxiety every day about death. And like, that's just a whole nother subject. But yeah, it's just women who hide behind that. Just, it baffles me. I don't understand
that. She used to tell me, it took me a while to get over my anxiety about driving a vehicle. Mm-hmm. I didn't get my license when I was 16. I was scared.
Right.
I didn't even get my license at 18, 19, 20. I was in my early 20s before I got my driver's license, because she told me that God told her that I was going to die in a car accident because I didn't honor her. That was really big to her.
That
honor her.
Terrible.
Honor thy mother, like the Bible says.
Yikes.
So I had such fear of driving a vehicle because of that.
Wow.
It's horrible.
That is terrible. She is, if I could fight your mom, I would.
Oh, she's like, something else, honey.
So after she kicked you out, where do you go from here?
I called my son's biological grandmother.
Mom.
I did.
His mom.
Because even though he had broken my little heart, she never did.
Oh,
she
I'm
would,
so happy you had these other women that were so good to you.
She would check on me. She'd call me and check on me. And she came down there to that hospital and held that grandbaby. And she said, oh, my God, he looks just like Garrett. You know, she knew instantly that was her grandbaby.
Yeah.
And she was the best grandma to my son until, unfortunately, she passed away. And Gibson has her name, Roxanne, tattooed on his arm, because he was in elementary school when she passed. But my son was her light in her life. She loved everything about him.
Yeah.
So I called her, and I said, Miss Roxanne, I'm sorry, but I don't know what to do, and I don't know where to go. But me and Gibson have just been thrown out of my mama's house, and I don't know what to do. She said, give me your address. I'm on my way. And she drove all the way from Biloxi, Mississippi.
Wow.
About 6 o'clock in the evening, and came and picked us up. Now, this is where it gets really bad. I move in with them, and Garrett's there, but we are
damn
not
it,
in
Garrett.
A relationship. We're not. I mean, I think even had a girlfriend at the time.
I love how you laugh every time you say his name.
Oh, I just want to knock him out sometimes. But so we were living together.
Right.
But we did not have a relationship. We were really best friends is what it was.
Right.
Both of
sometimes
us.
Sometimes that's what you need to make it work.
I look back at it now, and I think it's really cool that both of us at those young ages were able to realize that we didn't want to be together.
Right.
But we had this baby, so we was just going to be best friends for life. That's literally how it went down.
That's amazing that you guys both could do that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, and he knew how much his mama just loved me.
Right.
And loved his baby, you know. Okay, so I'm living there for about a month, month and a half. And all of a sudden, Miss Roxanne gets a knock at the door. And she's thinking, don't nobody even know we're even living here. Because if I'm remembering right, they were living in that apartment while they were building the house.
Right.
So not a lot of people knew they even lived there.
Right.
She looks through the peephole, and it's the Biloxi police. So she's thinking Garrett has done went and did something stupid, you know, because he used to be a little wild back when he was 16, 17. I think now he's probably like 18, 18 and a half. So she's thinking he done did something. So she opens the door and says, is this about my son? And he said, no, ma'am. We need to see if you have Ophelia. And then, you know, gave him a maiden name. And she says, well, she's right here. And I'm feeding the baby. And I was like, me? So I get up and walk over there. And I was like, what do you need me for? You know, I'm like, why is the police wanting me?
She had to cover her ass.
My mother, because the evil, lying, conniving person she is, called the youth center in Mobile because she didn't want me telling anybody that she threw me and this baby out on the street. So she called them and told them that I was a runaway. So the police officer comes in and sits down, and Roxanne is like, runaway? I had to go and get her. Because she was sitting at the neighbor's house with my grandson with nowhere to go.
Right.
She absolutely not didn't run away. She has no money. She has nothing.
Right.
And I'm just crying. I'm like, what do you have to do with me? I don't understand. Back then, when you reported a juvenile as a runaway, you had to be brought into that facility.
Mm-hmm. That's what happened to me.
So he told her, he said, well, I'm sorry, Miss Roxanne, I believe you. I believe y'all are telling the truth, but you do have to go and turn her in within 24 hours or you will be harboring a runaway.
I feel like the state does not protect children.
No, they do not.
Because I would literally be in fist fights with my stepmom and have to leave the house because I was getting my face put through doors.
Mm-hmm.
And they would report me as a runaway. Cops would find me and bring me right back.
Send you right back.
And it's like, it's just a cycle that mm-hmm. doesn't stop. And they don't, you know, I feel like that there needs to be more of some sort of like a law that's passed that where the parents have to be investigated also.
That's
if you call
true.
To report your child as a runaway, okay, well, why are they habitually uh-huh. running away? You know, let's investigate the home. Let's mm-hmm. see what we can do to help these children instead of just putting them right back in.
I can't agree more. They will send them back to the same environment.
Yeah.
You know? And I agree. If a child continues to run away,
yeah.
damn it, there's a reason for that.
Absolutely. No child is just going to leave home because they have such a great life. You know? Like, they're running away from something.
Isn't
you know?
That crazy they yeah. don't do that? It does need to change.
Yeah, it definitely does. So, what did she have to do? Did she bring you down
she
to the...
She brought me down there. The next
with the
morning,
baby? Or did
with
they get...
the baby.
Oh, my gosh.
The next morning, we... piled up in the car. Garrett took off work because even he was concerned because he was like, you know, again, we were friends. And we get down there and now Roxanne was a spitfire, okay? She would tell you
can't
off,
have a name like Roxanne and not be a spitfire.
She would tell you off in a hot minute. You know, anytime good. We showed up, she'd be on that porch with her Virginia Slim cigarette aww. Just wanting you to say something tacky to her, you know?
Right.
So she gets in there and she's demanding to speak to whoever's running this place. And, you know, she wasn't being irate. She was like, I need you to understand what is happening here type of a situation.
Yeah. Just going to bat for you.
Yeah. So they bring an investigator in and the investigator listens. He says, well, you know, can you prove that you didn't run away? And, you know, your mother says that you ran away and then came back and took a TV. And I said, took a TV? like broke in and took it? And he said, yes. And I said, I said, I don't even have a vehicle. Like,
yeah.
I said, was I walking down the street with this? You know, at this point I'm like, oh, sir, come on. Like, I can't.
Yeah, like, this is too much.
Yeah. Here's what happened. You know, my son couldn't go to kid jail with me.
Right.
So I gave temporary guardianship to Roxanne so that I could do what needed to be done. And it even said on there, this was only for during the time I was there, you know, all that kind of stuff. But in case she needed to take him to the doctor or something,
yeah.
I wanted him to be with her and her only.
Right.
So court comes and Roxanne had gotten in touch with my brother. On my daddy's son, and she says, you need to do something. You're the big brother. Your daddy's not here no more. Why are y'all not even doing anything to
good.
Help? Oh, she acted up.
Get
on him,
him, Roxanne.
So he says, you're right. You know, I guess let me do something. Court comes. My mother doesn't show up.
Shocking.
And I was able to be emancipated.
Wow.
That day.
I just got goosebumps.
So at... was I 17 yet? Almost 17. I was able to be emancipated.
Oh, that's so amazing.
There was nothing she could do ever again. She couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
I could live wherever I wanted. I could do whatever I wanted.
She couldn't control you.
Nothing. Then Roxanne does a little bit. So I was able to leave that day.
Right.
And the second I walked out the door, I was, where's my baby?
Yeah.
Where's my baby? And it was perfect. I mean... thank goodness.
Did you cry?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
All I wanted was to just love on my baby. And he, like, just knew who I was.
Yeah.
He knew who I was.
Your mama.
And I asked her, I said, how do you think? Because I stayed there, I want to say it was 3 months or something that I remember. because you have to wait for court.
Right.
And one time.
Oh, you were in the juvenile facility for almost 3 months?
For almost 3 months.
Holy shit.
There was one court date that she didn't show up, but she rescheduled. So I had to sit there.
Oh, she was doing that on purpose
because she knew I couldn't leave out of there until. So when she didn't show up a second time, she wasn't aware that the state just ripped me from her.
Well, because they probably caught on to what she was doing.
And gave me my own authority. But I found out from Roxanne, I was like, how do you think he remembers me? And she said, honey, I've been showing him your picture every night, Sam, Mama. Okay? Every night when we're rocking his milk bottle. She just was good.
What a great woman. So what happens with your mom? Did you ever go back home after you were emancipated? You were like, fuck that, never dealing with this again.
My life starts to move on a little bit.
Yes.
And then I'm about 17 and a half, and I go to a teen nightclub. I get a babysitter. I go to a teen nightclub, and I'm standing on the stairs, and I feel somebody touching my back, and I turn around, and it's my future husband.
Aww.
That's who it is. Just goof, totally not my type.
This is the first husband, right?
This is my first husband. Okay. Just goofies, I don't know what. And, you know, told me he had an identical twin brother, which he does. And,
yeah.
So we start dating. The reason I think I just kind of loved him is the way that he was to Gibson.
Aww.
He was very good to him. And I also fell in love with his family.
Mm-hmm.
His dad, who is pretty much my daddy today, that's Papa Ronnie.
Mm-hmm.
They just adopted me and Gibson.
Aww.
It was never a day that they didn't treat us like family,
right,
being around them.
Right.
And I walked in there and I told Papa Ronnie, this was before he became, you know, Papa Ronnie. I walked in there and I said, look, I'm about to turn 18. I'm going to marry your son. I did it just like this. I said, I'm going to marry your son. He said, no. Y'all too young. Y'all just wait a minute. Well, his twin brother had just gotten married. He had a baby on the way. And we were just set on getting married and
hell-bent,
being together, mm-hmm, and, you know, starting our life with, you know, like Lonnie and Heather, the twin and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And Papa Ronnie said, well, I can't stop you if that's what you want to do. So we did. We went down there to the courthouse.
Aww.
That December. I got pregnant.
Oh.
That December with my daughter. She was born early too due to preeclampsia.
Mm.
Now everything was going fine with him. Everything.
How were you feeling during this time? Were you finally happy? Did you have peace?
I was happy.
Mm-hmm.
I had a husband. I had a dad, a good dad for Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
I had this family. This man that reminded me of my dad.
Yeah.
You know, one of the greatest men ever.
Yeah.
You know, completely devoted his life to his kids and grandchildren. And, you know, I'd come in the door and Gibson already be sitting on his lap, calling him Papa. It was a dream for me.
Yeah.
It was a dream for me.
It's everything you deserved.
And I thought, this is it. This is my life now. Mm-hmm. This is my life. And then things just started to change.
Mm-hmm.
My first husband lost his mother due to a brain aneurysm.
Ugh.
October of 96, I think. It wasn't long after, 1998.
Mm-hmm.
So it had been about 8 months before I met him.
Right.
He never came back from that.
Mm.
He just never came back from that.
Mm.
He started doing drugs.
Oh, no.
Where I didn't know, you know what I mean? Like,
right,
behind my back, I didn't know he had a problem. Then he started getting, like, he'd run out of them and not be able to find them and go into withdrawal.
Mm.
And then I would be the attack bunny for it, you know. Then I get pregnant again.
Was it physical abuse?
Yeah.
So it was a domestic violence relationship?
The first physical time it happened, I just had Beige. So it was maybe right after we'd been together a year. Aww. I would think. Been married a year. Because we was only together 6 months.
He was putting his hands on you before his mom passed away?
This was after. Right I never after. Got a chance okay. to meet his mother.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
She passed before we met. By gotcha. 8 months prior okay. to us meeting.
Okay, gotcha.
So, yeah, we were together about 6 months. And then we went down there and got married at the courthouse. Because he told me, he said, if we get married at the courthouse, I'll give you a big old wedding on our 5th anniversary. And aww. That he did. He kept his promise.
Yeah.
Should we have been having a wedding back then? No. Mm. No. You should see those pictures of me.
Oh, no.
I was in the worst condition ever.
Oh, no.
With, you know, my eating disorder. And I look at those pictures and it is scary to me how just thin and frail I was.
Did you pick up the eating disorder as a child, or is this something you battled as a child?
It came, and I feel I have every right to blame my mama for this.
Oh, for sure.
The first time that I recognize that I might have been affected by her words like this, I was somewhere around 9-10 years old. Dance was my life. Mm. All of it. Tap, jazz, ballet. Oh, man. And I went big with it. I went all the way to point. I mean, I was a real ballerina. I loved it. It came time for my recital at the end of the year. Everybody's got those May and June recitals.
Yes.
And my dance teacher told me, she said, when you get home, tell your mom I need your measurements so I can send them in for the costume. I said, okay, I'll tell her. Well, I did.
Yeah.
I got there and I said, Mama, you got to measure me for the dance costume. So I stood in front of her. We were in the living room by her chair and I stood in front of her. She brings that fabric measurer out. She measures all this. She gets down to my hips and my thighs and proceeds to tell me that they are too big for my age. And then starts restricting my dinners at nighttime. But telling my dad, you know, I wasn't hungry, or I'm starting to go through puberty, so my appetite has changed.
Right.
You know, just making up anything.
Wow.
She was projecting her own thoughts and insecurities onto me.
Absolutely, yep.
The entire time I was growing up, she would always, do you think I look pretty today? Do you think I've gained some weight? It's very vain. Mm. Very, very.
It's part of the narcissism.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Mm. But whatever it was, at that moment, something triggered in me. When she started restricting the food at nighttime, then I started doing it at lunchtime at school.
Yeah.
I just pick little pieces.
Subconsciously, you wanted her approval, you know?
Oh, it has to be from that.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Definitely. I grew up with an eating disorder too. It took me until last year when I started working with a nutritionist that I'm eating more now than I ever have in my entire life. And it was, I still have to fight it, you know, like every day is a battle and people don't understand how bad eating disorders really affect you and they stick with
you. It consumes your life.
Absolutely. I had the worst relationship with food up until a year ago. I would starve myself and I couldn't lose weight and I would train 5 days a week and couldn't put on muscle. Didn't understand why. And it was because of things that you were conditioned as a child to think.
That's right.
You know, that comes back and just rears its ugly head and just follows you your entire life.
It was to go through ED, and because I've also been diagnosed with body dysmorphia, and that is a struggle. Same. Lord have mercy.
Yep.
The hardest time for me was when I was fine when I was pregnant with Gibson. I was fine. I mean, I was a little bitty old thing. I was a baby. When I got pregnant with those other three babies with my first husband, I had gained so much weight.
Mm.
I'd gained over 80, 100 pounds per pregnancy.
Wow.
It was so difficult for me to deal with both of those disorders during my pregnancy.
I couldn't imagine.
And after. Would you believe that after I had Randon, which is the baby child, that I as soon as I got to the room, I started lifting up my hospital gown, looking at my body, trying to thinking like I legit just had a baby and I was going to come out of there looking a certain size. God. I was holding up my gown, looking at my body to see what it looked like because I was so consumed with that.
Oh my goodness.
I feel for anybody that has to deal with, you know, an eating disorder or body dysmorphia or both.
Yeah.
And going through the pregnancy and the aftermath, it is so difficult.
I couldn't imagine. And that's probably another reason why I've decided to not have kids on my own. Because one, I just mentally can't handle the hormones.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, the body dysmorphia, I couldn't imagine going through that and then just having to fight those demons. They say that, you know, a lot of women that struggle with eating disorders, hold on. I'm starting to get emotional again. This whole podcast has been so like therapeutic for me. They say that women who struggle with eating disorders, it's our way of controlling because everything else around us was so chaotic that controlling our food intake and how we look and, you know, our weight is a way of just having some sort of control over our lives because we've been through so much shit. So I don't know if that ever applies to you.
No, it's 100% accurate.
So the abuse, was he abusing you while you were pregnant also?
No. Never while I was pregnant. And he never abused our children. He never. Good. He wouldn't lay a hand on
I don't
them.
Think you would let that happen, though,
no,
either.
Hell no.
You're from small and mighty, but you are fierce.
Look, he might have been a shitty husband.
Right.
But he loved them babies.
Right.
Like, they were his life.
Yeah.
He just had problems.
Yeah.
That ultimately led to him passing away.
Right. Oh.
And...
Did he overdose?
Well, it is so hard to answer this. We don't know. He was found in a vehicle on Mother's Day 2019.
Mm-hmm.
He was found in his vehicle, a Tahoe, laying down in the back seat with just a pair of boxers on. And a female that we didn't know, of course we've learned now she was a beautiful person. She was in the front seat. Both of them were already gone. The toxicology, and I won't speak on her, but the toxicology on him, he had about 14 different drugs in his system. The death certificate says smoke inhalation. But let me explain it like this. The way the vehicle went off the road, it didn't hit nothing.
Right.
It didn't hit anything.
Right.
It's like the car just drove and... parked in somebody's corner of their yard. The vehicle catches on fire. How did these two individuals pass out at the same time? And neither one of them had those kind of drugs that would do that to you.
Right.
Might I add, which would be heroin.
Right. Fentanyl. Something, all that stuff, yeah.
Neither one of those had that in their system, okay? So they didn't have any kind of drug that would do that to them.
Right.
I can understand if you had two people, maybe IV drug users, they do it at the same time. They not, and then something happens to the vehicle. I don't know. But they didn't have that.
Wow.
So somehow both of them pass out at the same time. No damage to the vehicle. Okay. The vehicle catches on fire and they both die due to smoke inhalation.
Sounds like a setup almost. Like somebody, like something, there was foul play and then somebody burned the car to make it look like that.
Papa Ronnie, his dad, has been nonstop with detectives and, you know, the fire chief.
Papa Ronnie's still around?
Oh, yes. I mean, and then COVID hits, of course, you know, because Randy, the ex-husband, passed in 2019. Then COVID happens.
Right.
So a lot of these courthouses and things like that, Papa Ronnie, you know, had to put a halt on it because of COVID. But now that things are getting better around the world, he's now speeded up the process on this investigation stuff. So death certificate says smoke inhalation. We don't know. It's so bizarre.
It's got to be hard for your kids too.
Yeah, it was
because you guys had three together and then Gibson, right?
So it was devastating. It was devastating.
Yeah.
You know, when he passed, he was in much worse shape than I left him. You know,
when did you guys split?
We split 2004,
okay,
five, something like that. Mm-hmm. Derek and I got married on our 4-year together anniversary, which was 2010.
Right.
I'm terrible at math.
Yeah, me too.
We met about
I'm so bad with dates.
We met about a year later.
I have a heating pad on.
We met about a year later after Randy and I divorced.
Right. Okay.
And he and I divorced.
This
amicably.
Is hubby now.
Yes. Derek is my husband okay. now. But Randy and I, like, we got a divorce and left the courthouse and went and ate lunch together.
Right. It was just time.
Yes.
So you guys did it like adults.
Correct. Good. And he's the one that always said, you know, I was a crappy husband, but I'm a good dad.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Aww.
He just could not be faithful. He couldn't leave the drugs alone. He couldn't do a lot of things. He had a serious sex addiction.
Yeah.
That is...
They usually go hand in hand with drugs.
Yes,
drug use.
That is the only reason why I was pregnant the whole time.
Right.
That we were married.
Right.
You know, that and I guess the Lord and the universe had a plan for me to have these four.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that was very exhausting to deal with.
Yeah.
That led to him having multiple affairs. That led to him telling, let me try to put this right. That led to me doing things to please him, okay, that I would never do in my marriage today.
Aww.
You know?
Yeah, it's probably from the drug use because they get real, it's like depravity, you know, just like really just grotesque sex acts. Because
yes.
It just, it's a high that they're chasing. They just want to get... Mm-hmm. Deeper and deeper and deeper into.
He was so dangerous with it though. Like when I finally filed, I was.
What can I have an example?
Like meet somebody at a strip club and have unprotected sex with him in the backseat of his car.
Oh, and then come home to you.
And then come home. This man.
These men just have
that's,
no respect.
That's dangerous.
Right.
Now you're putting my life at risk.
Absolutely.
Okay. Like I was constantly. Like, every time I would find out, there's been another one.
He obviously wasn't good at this cheating situation.
Oh, he...
Not that anybody needs to be good at cheating. I'm not condoning it at all.
I never had to find out because he would feel so bad and tell me.
It's kind of abusive.
With tears down his face. You know, He was addicted to sex.
Yeah.
He couldn't quit. He didn't know how to quit. He didn't know how to deal with it. So then he's taking drugs on top of that, Lortabs and Vicodin and, you know, pain pills and whatever. So he would feel terrible and just come home and say, I'm so sorry. You can leave me if you want to. This is what I did. You know, it was just constant up and down. And I loved him dearly. Yeah. I did. But I really
wanted to
think,
help him.
Yeah.
You wanted to save him.
Yeah. I really think I stayed as long as I did for that daggum family.
Yeah.
I loved that family. Oh. And I ain't missed a Christmas since. I have been at every family function since then, you know? But then I meet Derek.
Yeah.
You know, we divorce and, you know, I meet Derek and he meets his soon-to-be second wife. Now, the kids spent a lot of time over there. Like, they were back and forth at our houses. It was never, they were at my house, and then they go to him every week.
No.
They could have been at Dad's for 2 weeks straight, and then at mine for a week.
But right.
It was so off of a schedule.
Right.
We just
tried to keep it like a family.
Yes.
You didn't want to be, like, court-ordered to have to be somewhere, because that's when it starts getting, like, weird and just feeling institutionalized.
It was too stressful.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
You know? So him and his new girlfriend, they don't have a good relationship. They just get worse together. And it really sucked because Randy and I had a conversation, you know, a couple of months after we divorced, and we both agreed we need to do better on our next marriages.
Right.
Everything that we messed up on this one, let's promise to be better on the second one.
Right.
And I was like, you know, that was his idea. And I said, you're right. I'm going to do that, you know. So I always wished that whoever he loved next, that he would be faithful and he would be honest and authentic, and because he had a good heart. He damn sure had a good heart. But he didn't. The drugs got worse. The sex addiction got worse. The violence got worse. Then I just loved her as a friend. So then I'm worried about her now.
His new wife.
And then it really sucks to be the ex-wife on the phone with the new wife, consoling her, because I know everything she's telling me. Because I lived, she's in my old life. You know?
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
That's so selfless of you, though, to still be there, you know, and try to support and just love them through all the toxicity.
I wanted them to be okay. I wanted them to be happy like me and Derek was, you know?
Let's talk about Derek.
Oh, he's a mess. He is such a mess.
How did you guys meet?
At a passion party.
What's a passion party?
Like adult toys.
Oh, okay.
Penises and dolls and all of that.
We love that.
I was not trying to date anybody. I wasn't looking for nobody.
What is he doing at a passion party?
Well, here's the thing, though. I think they tricked us. But apparently we had the same common friends for years. But had never met each other, which was quite odd.
Danced around the same circle.
One of my friends that was there, Tracy, there during this time that I had left my mother's house at 16. You know, I lived with the grandmother for a little while. I lived with them for a little while. These were all the little families I stayed with until I met Randy and moved completely in with their family. And that's kind of like how my life started in adulthood. Okay, so Tracy, everybody kind of knew each other. So Tracy invited me to this passion party. And I said, well, what the hell do I need to go to a passion party for? She said, I don't have a boyfriend. She said, that's exactly why you need to go, Heifer. You know,
Get you some toys, Mama Tot.
I told her no a million times till she got on my damn nerves. And I said, fine, I'm going. It was a co-ed and it was for couples. They all had invited Derek, the guys, and the girls had invited me. So when everybody shows up, the only two people that were there that were not in a committed relationship was Derek and myself.
Definitely a setup.
I was big on passion parties because they are just hilarious. They are so fun. I am very open like that. So they're literally right up my alley.
Does Mama Tot get freaky?
Yes, of course Mama I do. I love BDSM. That's what I call it. BDSM.
Oh, BDSM?
I call it BDSM.
Get the hell out of here.
I call it that because I got drunk one time when I was 24 and called it BDSM. And it's been that name ever since. Yes, I love it. I mean, not an everyday thing. Right. But yes, of course.
So when you say BDSM, let's use Mama Tot's word. When you say that, what do you mean? Like whips and chains? You like being tied up?
I like to be completely submissive,
dominated,
that at all of it.
I
all
love
it.
That
all of it.
Yes,
I could never be a dom.
I love being submissive too,
but it is very attractive when my husband comes home off the road on a Friday night and walks past me and says, get your ass in the shower.
Oh, love
that
it.
Clothes fall off, honey. Okay. I love it all.
I love that.
I think that really everybody should experiment the things that they like.
Absolutely.
I think they should experiment with the things that they think they never would do.
I always tell everybody, try something once, and if you like it, do it twice.
Exactly. Because how are you going to be able to tell your partner what you like if you don't even know what the hell you like?
Absolutely.
You know? So, yeah, I'm all for that stuff.
I love it.
Yeah. So we went, and it got time to play the games, and they paired us together. I had been eyeballing him across the room. He had been eyeballing me at just different times.
Nothing like sex toys bringing a couple together.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Because it already starts off kinky.
It was hilarious because everybody was drinking and I had to blindfold him. And he was sitting on a couch and I went to blindfold him and I shit you not, The second I looked at him in his eyes to blindfold him, I knew I was going to love him one day.
Aww.
I don't know how. I felt it. I felt it.
I believe it. That's how it was when I met Jelly.
I felt it. Mm-hmm. I just knew it. And then that's it. He called me a couple days, or might have been the next day. I don't know. And we were together ever since.
And how long have you guys been together now?
We just celebrated back in March. Together 16 years.
Wow.
And married for 12.
Wow.
Yeah, married for 12. We got married back in 2010, but we got married on our 4-year together anniversary.
Right.
So now that's our wedding. He don't have any children of his own. I cannot have children anymore because back when I was married to Randy, I got my tubes tied because everything that was going on, I just didn't want to get pregnant again.
Right, yeah. I mean, just didn't. You had to protect yourself somehow.
And for me, getting the tubes tied, it was such a breeze. I literally woke up the next day like I did nothing.
Right.
It was very easy.
You're like, I'm free. No more childbearing days. So, childbearing days are behind me.
Had I known that I was going to get a divorce and I was going to meet this lovely man with no children, I would have never, you know, gotten my tubes tied, but it wasn't
everything
in our cards.
Works out how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it's just not in our cards.
It's your turn to kind of be selfless and enjoy your time with your husband. Mm-hmm. You have spent your entire life taking care of other people's emotions, their feelings, tiptoeing around life to make sure everybody else is happy.
Oh, yeah.
And this is your time to just be and just be happy. And now look what you're doing.
I know. I told my youngest that the other day. Same thing. I said, look, y'all grown now.
Yeah.
Okay?
Get the hell away from me.
Y'all don't need me to make no doctor's appointment.
Right.
You've got Google on your smartphone. Be smart. Yeah. It is. You know, for Derek to not even be around anybody's youngins when he met me and just kind of bounce in our life with these four small little children.
It's a built-in family.
You know, he didn't skip a beat with them. He has been at every important, you know, everything with them.
I love that.
And
you deserve that.
I will say, since their dad has passed, my daughter has been like, you know, just real, real close to him.
Yeah, that's her. That's the next thing that she has to a father figure.
That is right.
And what a great guy to have, you know, to take the place of, you know, her dad, who probably was he there for her in the last few years of his addiction and stuff? Yeah.
He wasn't. They would hear from him once every six months, probably. And I asked Randy that right before he passed, actually. I said, why do you stay away?
Yeah.
Why? You know they have their own phones. You know, why do you stay away? And he said, because I'm embarrassed.
Yeah. A lot of addicts do that. Bailey's mom was. She's doing amazing now. So I want to always give her flowers. But, you know, for the first 5 years that we had Bailey, she would not come around and she would disappear. And, you know, the hardest thing is trying to explain to a kid, you know, why doesn't my mom want to call me? Why won't she just come and see me? You know, and addicts stay away because they're just ashamed, you know, and I think it's almost like a blessing that they do that, though, because if they showed up all intoxicated, don't you think that would be a little bit more trauma for the child too? I mean, it sucks both ways around, you know, but it's like, do you want them to see their parent in that state or just have them stay away? You know, so
no, that's
very
true.
Yeah, totally. Let's talk about Mama Tot on TikTok.
Yes.
How did this start? Because you are literally like a phenomenon on TikTok.
By accident.
You have an army behind you.
They are something else.
Are they not hilarious?
They are something else.
They love Mama Tot.
Real fast before we get into this, I'm just going to readjust your mic. It's kind of a bit over the time.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yay. Your army loves you. Like, they love Mama Tot.
Yes.
And I remember the first time I came across you, I remember thinking to myself, who is this sweet lady that reminds me of Dolly Parton and Steel Magnolias?
Like, total compliment.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a Dolly Parton fan. Everybody knows that. But just the way you carry yourself, just your empathy, just your compassion. And I literally was just like, follow. And I've been following you ever since. And this was probably about 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Almost
not 2 years. Quite, but almost, yeah. How long have we been on TikTok? Because I fought getting on TikTok for the longest time, probably a year and a half. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, almost 2 years ago that I started following you. And I just see, I love what you're doing. Like, and I don't even think, you know how you said earlier about Jay that he doesn't even realize, you know, how many people he touches.
Right.
I think you're in the same situation. Like, you are that same human. You are literally.
Probably. Mm-hmm. Because I don't see myself as anybody other than Derek's wife, my kid's mama, just some lady from Mobile, Alabama. You know, I don't see myself as anything other than that. And Rissa, you met my friend earlier, said the same thing. She said, Opie, you know, you can't just be going to the dollar store with your hair and curlers no more. Like, people are going to, they see you as somebody that they look up to.
Absolutely. And you are a role model and a good one, because Lord knows there's a lot of people that have a platform that should not have a platform, hateful. You know, very, and just toxic. And it's like, you are just a breath of fresh air. You said this happened by accident.
Yes.
What? How? First of all, how did you get on TikTok?
My youngins.
Yeah.
You know, they kept sending me TikTok videos. You know, funny. They know I love funny stuff because I'm a total comedian fan.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many comics in the world that I'm a fan. I love comedy.
Yeah.
So they would send me these funny TikToks, and finally I'm like, what the hell is this app? Let me open this app. Well, it wouldn't let me go any further than just that video until I created signed an up. Account. Mm-hmm. So I created the account, and then a whole new world opened. I was like, okay, this is nice. This is funny.
It's like comedy at your hands.
It is literally, people are literally inviting you into their lives of everything.
Absolutely. Like, it's,
so that's how I started an account, just to get in, you know, to the TikTok world.
Right.
How my niche started, which is, you know, and I hate to call it a niche because this is literally like just who I am as a person.
Yeah, I don't think it's a niche either.
I didn't realize so many people needed it. But I was sitting at work one day because I had been in the furniture business for about 15 years, you know, furniture sales. Mm-hmm. And I was the operations manager for two stores and the store manager for that particular one. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot going on.
Right.
Boss,
you're a boss, baby.
Yes. I seen this video. I didn't even know how to stitch, duet, make a TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew how to make a TikTok, just record and post.
Right.
But I didn't know anything that went into it, okay? Right. So I see this video pop up, and it's of this girl. She gets a new dress, and all she wants to do is show her mama how beautiful she looked in this dress. Mm-hmm. And that she did. But when she shows it to her mom, she got the complete opposite. Mm. She got, you're too big for that. Mm. That's not for your body type. Take it off. I seen this video. I sent it to my daughter because I didn't know how to share. I sent it to my daughter. I said, tell me how to make it where I can say something first. I mean, the video first, and then it goes into me.
Yeah.
It took my daughter all of 5 minutes to train me on how to stitch. Okay. Right. I got up. I walked in the break room at the furniture store because I was looking at myself with her.
Right.
That's how my mama was.
Absolutely.
Would tell me I was too fat. Would tell me that's not the right color. All of that. And I said, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I have to tell her how fucking beautiful she looks in this dress.
Yeah.
So I stitched it. She was on first. And I stitched it. And all I really said was, I had a mama like that too, honey. Mm. And as I got older, I quit listening to that heifer. Because I did. And then I said, I think you look lovely in your dress. All of it, you know. And I hit the post button, and I went back to my desk, and it was ding, 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 ding. Because at the time, I had the notifications on my phone.
Right, oh yeah, you can't keep
Because I wanted to know if my one friend on TikTok was saying hello.
Yeah.
And I realized at that moment, what viral looked like, because within about 45 minutes, it was at 700,000 views.
Wow.
And still today, it's my highest viewing video. When I started reading the comments, it was, I wish I had a mom like that. It was, if my mama would have raised me, I wouldn't have felt this awful about myself. It was, oh, she's so sweet. The number one comment I seen the most of was, I feel safe right here.
Oh.
Honey, that's all it took. I thought, that's it. I can help people feel better about themselves.
Yeah.
Using my account to do that.
Yeah.
Because I've always been this way. I've just only been able to help one person at a time.
Yeah.
You know, face to face.
Yeah.
With a social media platform, you can help thousands at one time.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. You
Absolutely.
Know? So I told my husband right then, I said, that's it, honey. That's how I can help people with things. I can share my own stories. I can, you know, make sure that nobody goes a day without knowing how important they are here. Like, your life has a purpose. Absolutely. Even when you lay down at nighttime and don't feel that way.
Yeah.
You have a space here.
Absolutely.
You know? And it just took off from there. That's how it took off. But I started that video by saying, hey, my little tater tot. That's where the tater tots come from.
Gotcha.
That's where Mama Tot came from.
Right.
That's where the Army has now recruited thousands of people. And
millions. Not thousands, Mama. Millions.
That's how it happened. So,
have you ever stopped to think that you're a combination of the women who made you feel safe and that you're giving back what they gave to you when you were a child?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. I have taken so many little things from Miss Jenny, you know, from Sarah's mama, from Lee's mama, Miss Vicky, from Roxanne, from all these people that are, from my mother-in-law, from all these women who kind of molded me into who I am today. I took a lot from my daddy as far as being a good person and sticking up for people. You know, back on religion, my mother tried, my mother was extremely homophobic. I'm talking the worst. And my daddy wasn't.
Right.
You know, my daddy was a good old Christian man,
but
my daddy was not homophobic.
Right.
My daddy said they're people too. Aww. And just because they love somebody a little different don't mean shit. That's what he told me in the vehicle one day.
Right.
I'd gotten in the car with him. He was taking me to go get some new school clothes. And I had told him what my mama said. And I told him, I said, Mama said that gay people are going to go to hell. I think that's how I said it. And Mama said I can't be friends with anybody if they're gay or if they tell me they're gay at school. And my daddy looked at me and he said, don't you listen to that shit. He said, you can be friends with whoever the hell you want to be friends, and they are not going to hell. Your mama's just crazy. It's funny how he was. Yes, my dad was hilarious, actually.
Right.
But he would shut her down. He didn't like that.
Right.
He did not like her saying things.
It's crazy that such a good man put up with such a wild
everybody
woman.
Everybody says that.
Yeah.
Everybody says that.
Where is Mom now?
She lives about 15 minutes from me.
Evil lives forever.
15 minutes from
crazy,
me.
It's crazy, right? Like,
I have not seen her, you know, a lot of people don't realize that I didn't, like, not ever talk to my mama again after she threw me out the house.
Right.
Of course I did. I had forgiven her and allowed her back in oh so many times.
And then she just shows herself each time.
Thinking to myself, it'll be better this time.
Right.
It'll be different this time. It never was different.
Right.
And she did something really bad. In that first or second year relationship with Derek before we got married, she did something really bad that I just was like, I'm done.
Can we talk about what she did?
Yeah, we can talk about it.
Okay.
I was at a, you know, WWE wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
My boys loved them when they was little.
Yeah.
Loved them. And I had let my mama back into my life. And I had gotten tickets. I think it was, I don't know if it was Randy, the ex-husband, or Papa Ronnie, the grandpa, who got the boys and myself tickets for the WWE show.
Yeah.
I can't remember. But somehow we got the tickets from one of them. me and Derek, because this was right when Derek and I first got together, we took the boys to WWE. And Beige, I get confused at this story, but I'm almost positive this has went. My daughter stayed there. I allowed my mother to watch her. I'm almost positive. Because there were two incidents that happened almost back to back.
Right.
And anyway, regardless, I was nowhere in her home. Nowhere. I was nowhere fucking near her. Right. Okay? She went into an episode.
Oh, no.
Called the police in the city and told them that I abused her. That I attacked her in her home. Okay? So when me and Derek pull into the driveway with my boys, I see the police there. I freak out because I think something's wrong with my daughter.
Right.
I'm like, oh my God, what's happened? I jump out of the car and I start running. Derek too with the kids. And I open up the door and I'm like, Mom, Beige, you know, I'm just going crazy. And I see her standing there. And as soon as she sees me, she takes her face and does this and says, get her out of here. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Where's my daughter? Because I didn't see back. Well, Baze was asleep. That's why. But she did her face like this and said, get her out of here. They handcuffed me. They handcuffed me, honey. What? Because she told them that I had attacked, physically harmed her, and that I had left the property. So to them, it looked like I'm just coming back, I guess. I don't know. I have no idea. But they took me to jail.
Wow.
Long story short, I won my case. I won. It's
this
not
went on, to this went to court and everything.
Oh hell yeah, I was taking it to court. Oh hell, you ain't gonna lie on me, honey.
Yeah,
because if I'm gonna put my hands on you, I'm gonna tell them I put my hands.
Yeah,
on
for
you,
sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I took it all the way up.
How do your kids feel about her?
They remember moments of her.
Right.
When they got into middle school, I kind of gave them the authority that they can make that decision themselves.
Right.
Because that is their only biological living grandmother.
Right.
They chose no.
Well.
They remembered some things because they were old enough to remember it.
Wow.
Now, at that time, I did not go into details about everything she did to me. Mm. I just told them that I couldn't have her around me because she was not good to me.
Right.
So, they don't really know the extent of what, you know, she did. But the thing with my mother is crazy because lying to the police and making up a story like that to get one of her children arrested is a thing for her. She's did it to my brother. I had to go bail my brother out. My sibling, my sister, had to come down from Florida and show up for court and say, look, she has a history of this. Like, this is not true. But I won my case, and it was never on my record. The judge apologized to me.
Wow.
I was apologized by two of the police officers.
Wow.
At the court hearing after it went to trial, I had to have my attorney show proof that just recently she was in a mental hospital.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I had to use that.
Yeah.
But I had to prove to them that this was a history with her.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
But once she did that, I'm done.
Yeah.
You cannot.
You tried your whole life.
I can't be around you. Yeah. There's no telling what you will do. What if you call the police and tell them I'm trying to poison your food or something?
Yeah. Or do something worse and poison yourself and blame it on me. Yeah.
And like, then write a note and say, if you find me dead, my daughter did it.
Yeah. Like, we can't risk that. Yeah. That's crazy.
I won't do it. I won't have it.
Has she seen you on TikTok or is she too old for that?
I have heard she has.
Mm-hmm.
I heard she seen me on that game show with Jay Leno that I did back in August.
Mm-hmm.
I don't talk to anybody that is connected to her side of the family.
Associated with her, yeah. I understand that.
Just my big sis.
Yeah.
Laurie, you know?
Yep.
Her and I are like this. I love my big sister.
Yeah.
That's it. My grandmother's passed away. She was just as bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even, it's just, I don't know what the issue is with those people.
Right.
With that genetic line.
Right. You're breaking the generational curses, though. Yeah. It stops with you. And that's
amazing.
I don't
want my kids around this madness.
Yeah.
You know?
What do your kids think about you on TikTok?
They,
when, it's always a catch 22 with the kids.
when the account started growing, mm-hmm. like, you know, 400,000 followers, 700,000 followers, they were like, Mom, you hit it, you know, 700,000 and, you know, whatnot. And now they don't even pay attention.
Right.
They are so used to their friends coming up to them saying, hey, can I come over and see your mom? Yeah. You know, they're so used to that. It just don't even bother them anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't faze them. Do they love what you're doing, though? Do they love the message?
They're very proud of me.
Good.
Very proud of me.
Are you proud of you?
Yeah, but I need people to understand that, you know, just because I'm loving and kind and you know, I want the best for that does not mean I will not cuss your ass out.
Right. Okay? No, I think everybody knows that about you.
I'm going to stick up for my kids. I'm going to stick up. Look, do not mess with my husband, my kids, my dogs, or my money. Okay?
Same.
Have I made mistakes being a mama? Hell yeah, I have. Absolutely. I've made a million of them, you know? It's just I'm not perfect. And but I'm never going to be perfect.
You can still be proud of yourself and the woman that you are.
Definitely proud.
Yes.
But I just don't want people to think that I'm this perfect mama that just has never made no mistake in life.
Right.
I have been drunk flipping down the sidewalks. I've snorted a line of cocaine.
Not you.
I have a past.
Yeah.
You know, when I went through that divorce with Randy, I damn near lost my shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just went buck wild.
I went wild.
I lost my mind.
I needed somebody to reel my ass in. Okay.
No, but I actually think you needed it. After all the shit you went through, and then you ended up having three more kids, went through a crazy marriage, it was time for you to let your freak flag fly.
It was flying, honey.
It flying
was,
high.
It was flying. It was flying. So, yes, I mean, I did things that I'm not proud of.
But that's what makes you who you are. People don't look at people who are perfect as role models. They look at people who are perfectly imperfect. You know, and that's what everybody loves about you is they know that you've been through some shit. They know that, you know, even my following, and that's what I try to preach too, is, you know, people know that we come from some fucked up ass shit, but we're trying our best to be better humans. And that's what people love about you. And this, you know, this empire that you've built is admirable. You know, you just.
I love that. I pray for them every day.
Yeah.
And I know not everybody believes in the Lord, and everybody has their own spiritual journeys, and they know I love them, and but I pray for them every day that they are okay, and that they know how much I love them. Mm-hmm. Like, for somebody that just didn't have that family I needed, I damn sure got one now.
They're your family.
You know, and they've made it where I have been able to, you know, travel this year.
Yeah.
They've made it where I was able to buy my first jet ski, you know, even though I had to finance it. That's okay.
It's okay.
You know, they've changed my life.
Yeah.
Just as much as they feel I've changed theirs. Mm. I would not have this platform to even help this next person without them.
Yeah.
And I really do. I love them. I love these complete strangers.
Yeah.
All 5.6 million of them.
They love you.
I know it.
I mean, yesterday I made a post about who I should have on the podcast, and you were the number one person who was in those comments, you know, and just watching what you're doing, you're literally changing the world one video at a time. And you're showing people that love is possible without judgment
and insincerity.
Like, everything you do is just sincere. And the world needs more of that, because everything is just so fake now and manufactured. And when it comes to you, it's just stripped down, raw, and this is... You are our generation's, you know, Dolly Parton right now. Dolly's here, but you're like a younger version. You know,
that was always something that I always said, was that I was secretly trying to change the world.
Yeah.
You know, with COVID and the election and all these, you know, political arguments and all this other stuff that everybody was dealing with. I mean, people were losing family with COVID, yeah, and they were losing their homes because they couldn't. There was so much hurt in the world.
Yeah.
A lot of people were coming to TikTok to just get a little
comic relief. Yeah.
Of love and comedy and just joy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I open up that app and I just see people having babies and getting married and, you know, throwing their cap and gown up because they just graduated their favorite college. You know, it makes me feel good to be happy for other people.
Yeah.
You know, I will, there's not a jealous bone in my body. Mm-hmm. I will never look at someone else because they have more than me and feel a certain. No, I want to see you being successful. I want to see that. That gives me great joy.
And that's why people love you and why you have built the platform that you've built, because people know that about you.
It's very contagious too. If you keep surrounding yourself around somebody like that, you'll start to act like that.
Absolutely. I've always said smiles are contagious.
Yes.
What do you think, what can we expect from you in the next year?
Oh, hell, I don't know.
What, do you have any plans? Do you have anything that you want to do for yourself this year that you haven't been able to do?
This is going to sound so corny and stupid, but if I could just take my husband on a cruise, I'd be happy. He has wanted to go on a cruise for so long. And a while back, about half a year ago, I was trying to save secretly to surprise him with one. But these other trips came into play that was due to my social media stuff.
Right.
So I had to dig into, you know, those finances to pay for some things, you know.
Right.
But I just wish this year I could surprise my husband with going on a cruise for like 7 days because he needs it. I know it sounds so small, but I have been trying to do this for, I don't know, 3 years. But as far as like a year plan, I don't know. I'm just going to continue to get up every day and do what I normally do. Just be me, check just on everybody.
Piss excellence.
You know, I think you get so much with me, though. It's such a broad list of all these things that I give out. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll get advice, you'll get a little pick me up, you damn sure get some comedy. Yeah. Not on purpose. People just think I'm funny.
The fork thing was hilarious. We were cracking up about that today.
A fucking fork. I had to brush my hair with a fork.
No, it was awesome. But it's relatable. And that's what we need, is more people who are just real and relatable.
You know, Derek called me. He said, listen. He said, honey. What? He said, when I asked you yesterday if you brought everything, you said you did. Because he knows I'm always going to forget something like the hairbrush. I said, I know I did, but I thought I had. And he said, well, I just want you to know, I think this is damn near hilarious.
Yeah.
You used a fork to brush your hair.
No,
and I said, well,
so funny.
Newsflash, I got a brush this morning, so I'm fine. But I did. That was the only thing in that damn freaking room was a damn fork.
I love that. So, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you, your social medias?
Well, of course, on TikTok, the Big Mama Jamma. It's under ShoeLover99. I do have a backup account that I post on, and that, of course, is MamaTot99. My Facebook and my Instagram and then my YouTube are all the same. They're going to be Ophelia Nichols. I didn't name them anything. I just used my name. I figure people are going to be looking
for
me.
It's so original. Yeah, it's so original. So.
But I do, and I post on them daily. You know, sometimes I'll post a few on TikTok. You know, I'm not one of those people that's going to be posting 15 a day. You need to go to bed.
I don't know how they do that. I can do 3 or 4 and then I'm done.
Who the hell has time to post 15 TikToks?
I don't know. I have no idea. I can't do it.
No, I can't do it. Also, that does affect your view status.
Yeah, when you post that much?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Wow.
Oh, yes. You know, I have an agency, so I get like some intel. Like what to do and what not to do. If you are posting 10 or 15, even 6 a day, and I just got this information, and if you look at my account, you'll see it's been changed to maybe like 3 a day now.
Yeah, that's what I try to do. I try to do 3 a day. Yeah.
But yes, it affects it a great deal.
Wow.
And I was glad that they told me that because I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah, we think that we're just pouring out content, yeah. you know, and just helping people and just doing what we can. And
my goal is to not for followers, it is to reach more people.
Right, absolutely.
So I don't want to affect that right. at any point.
Right.
But yeah, just I post on my Facebook and Instagram daily. I wish I could get, you know, my Instagram. I want it to be a little cooler.
It's a dead platform. Instagram will be out the window in about 2 years.
It's difficult.
It's on its way out. They have shadow banned us and censored us so much on that app. I don't even like posting on there. Yeah. My account's at almost 800,000 and my reach is shit because it's like they just censor everybody. You have to pay to have your post promoted.
Oh,
they
I
just,
ain't paying for
they
shit.
Just took my manager's account. She had 20,000 people, took her account, and she's a mother of two and owns a hair salon. Doesn't do anything bad.
What the hell did they take your account for?
They said she was impersonating somebody else.
Excuse me?
And just took her fucking account. So TikTok is the platform. Jeez. Don't even worry about Instagram. I won't even bring Instagram models on anymore like I used to because there's just no point. Instagram is really just going down the drain. So
I don't know what
Facebook and TikTok are your jams.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely focus a lot of time. I'll do a few reels a day from Facebook people because I think it's real sweet because a lot of my Facebook people, I've got like some older ones that don't do TikTok.
Right.
So it's really,
really
cool to have like a different crowd over there too
because
I don't post the same things on every social.
Right.
Everything is,
is original.
Everything is different.
Awesome.
So it's really cool to see this new crowd come in and they're like, they're asking questions about me, you know, because I think I've got like, like 615,000 on the Facebook or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's cool because they didn't, not all of it come from TikTok.
Right.
This is new people. So I'm getting to know a lot of my followers over there, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Facebook
is where the real toxic people are.
Oh, they can be mean as hell.
They are mean. I'm like, I wake up every day and I'm like, I'm not checking those comments. Like, I can handle TikTok. TikTok's like my writers. They love me.
Yes.
Facebook, they love me too. I have a huge, I love my people over there. I'm with you. I'm at like 630,000, I think. But man, let me tell you, there are those few that are just so insane. And just they say the most off the wall shit. I'm just like, where do you get this from?
You could be doing a video and have a brand of a paper towel that they don't like. Are you serious?
Yeah.
You use those?
Yeah. I can't, I don't use those. I use these. And it's like, okay. Like, and?
Yeah. I had somebody the other day, and I'm not used to this on TikTok. So many of my followers are like an ally like me for LGBTQ+.
Yeah.
So I cannot tell you last time I've seen a mean comment about that.
Right.
I never really do, which is wonderful. You know, and I think it's, I don't know if they know them tater tots will come rolling in. I don't know. But I had one the other day on Facebook because I forgot what kind of, I think it was one of my merchandise shirts because I've got a lot of shirts that are geared towards LGBTQ+. And here comes this asshole in there. Shame on you for being a Christian and supporting.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, man, I want to go off and I'm going to just block your ass. I hate that. Like, here's the thing. Everybody knows this. I do not care what religion or non.
Right.
I don't care if you're anything.
Right. But just keep it positive. Keep it G. You don't have to just because you don't agree with what somebody's doing, you don't have to hate them. Yeah.
Like,
you don't have
to. Stupid.
Yeah. It's just, they're a part of the problem. They're why I always say that the world is turning into that movie, Idiocracy.
Oh my God. I've not seen that movie in years.
But if you think about it, that's how people are. They're like fucking Neanderthals that just spew hate on keyboards all the time.
Pretty much.
And it's crazy.
Pretty much.
Ophelia, I am so happy that you came by the podcast. And
I really
want you to come back next year and I want you to check in. And I want to, and I know for a fact, I'm very big on putting things into the universe that you will be taking your husband on that cruise this year.
I can't wait to see.
You
I'm
put it in the air.
It,
the universe is going to grab it. So you already put it in the air.
But
so
I ain't selling my shoe collection to get no money.
What can we get Mama Todd on OnlyFans?
You know what my husband told me the other day?
Oh, God.
Now, this is going to blow y'all's mind. Do you know he told me that I could get, that I could do an OnlyFans account as long as I was doing it for my feet.
Does he have a foot fetish?
No, oh. He just loves my feet.
That is odd. But you know what? You could probably, and you got those, you said you used to be a dancer, so you probably got those ballerina feet.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy. You could probably make some money.
I've got some range, honey. Listen. But I couldn't believe he said that. I've got some range, honey. I said, babe, you know, there's people that really get happy over them feet pics. You're okay with that? And he was like, I don't care to be making money. And I was really shocked that he said that. So if y'all see my feet on OnlyFans, don't say shit to me, okay? I'm trying to get this man's cruise.
You could listen. I'm going to, you start an OnlyFans for feet, I'll be your biggest tipper. How about that? I'm going to get you that damn cruise.
I thought it was funny. He's, that's amazing. He's precious.
We love him. Maybe next time you come, bring him. Too.
Well, he wanted to come this time. Aww. But you know, he's an owner operator, right. 18, you know, drives an 18 wheeler.
Right.
And because I just drug him to Florida,
right.
He really couldn't afford to take off like another, you know, yeah. weekend or whatnot. So I said, well, I'll just take Gib with me. So
well, next time we'll set it up to where you guys can both come. Because we want to see Mr. Tot too.
He is
Daddy Tot. Dude, can we call him Daddy Tot?
They call him Papa Tot.
Okay, so Papa Tot.
He is 5'1" and Aww. He is fine as hell. Aww. He's bald headed and he's got a salt and pepper beer.
We gotta let Mama Tot go. Well, Mama, I cannot wait to have you back, and I can't wait to see what you do this year. I love what you're doing, and you know, I just am, we're gonna sit back and just watch all these good things come your way, because you're just putting out so much good energy that it's gonna come back to you tenfold. So
I appreciate it,
and I appreciate you.
I am coming back.
What'd you say?
I am coming
back. Oh, no, you better come back, or I'm going to go down to Mobile and hunt you down. You're going to be like, who is this crazy bitch showing up on my doorstep with a microphone?
It's probably
Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Dumb Blonde. I will see you guys next week. Bye.